What's up? What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 93 of Value Town. I'm Chan-Man V, and that's not Noxious next to me. No, that's definitely not Noxious next to me. That's Toast. We got Toast and Murphs on tonight to come and hang out, talk about a lot of the news and whatnot. How's everybody doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Excited to be on for my third Value Town.
Yes.
I'm doing well, man. Yes. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk. You know, I basically talk for a living, so this is going to be a good time. All right. I'm very excited about talking more.
I'm sure. Yeah, exactly. We all know, those of you that know Burps, we know he has no problems with these type of talk shows. It's definitely great. And we're really glad to have you on, since we haven't done an arena update in a very long time. And we probably will have another episode like somewhere down the line where we just have like all arena guests and it's just completely arena centric. But I figured, you know, we'd have Murphs on at least to give us a quick rundown. But before BlizzCon, since there's going to be a bunch of announcements there, and maybe we can, you know, maybe predict what we think we're going to see and what we'd like to see. But also on top of that, lots of news, you know, lots of, you know, graphics or little hints at what the next release is going to be all about. Gadgets, man. And then a lot of a big old preview for HCT 2017. Man, a ton of things to talk about there too. As well as just our week in Hearthstone, you know, streaming obviously for both of you guys. And I've been playing trying out some decks that we talked about last week, actually, but some fun there. And then, of course, we're going to do some viewer Q&A at the end, which you can go ahead and tweet your questions to myself, at ChamMV. And those will get highest priority. If we run out of questions there, then we'll start taking some questions from the Twitch chat. Okay, guys. So, news and updates. Lots of stuff going on in Hearthstone, which is really exciting. You know, I feel like I feel like they didn't save a bunch for BlizzCon itself, but they, you know, they've been coming out with a bunch of stuff even before BlizzCon. So, why don't we start with I guess since last week, I think the day after the show, they came out with their latest patch, which was the ones that had, of course, all the new quests, you know, that people have been talking a lot about, and mostly, I think it's been mostly that with you know, obviously some changes here with some of the cards too, and how they read, and you know, just some of the wording on the cards too. Let me just show the update real quick and then get your thoughts on it.
I think the Murloc change was a pretty big part of that, even though in most cases it's not really gonna matter. But again, on the off chance that you're playing anything can happen paladin against a priest, not sure how you're going to be playing against a priest in this meta. But, you know, it does reduce that whole Thought Steal into anything or Yogg-Saron into anything. It does change it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Blizzard opted not to give us Dust Refund for that because it's not really a nerf. And I guess they don't want to set a precedence for that kind of change.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think that's the other big thing.
I think on just a very big level, it seems like Blizzard has been very active, right? The Hearthstone team has just been very active in the past month. You can extend it to like the past 2 months as well. And, you know, no matter where you stand on some of these issues, like Heroic Brawl, for example, you know, there was a significant backlash to that. I think the Hearthstone community in general has to be pretty happy about sort of just the team moving and shaking things, right? Because the worst thing a development team can do is just be silent and not produce content or you know, not do anything. So I like the fact that, you know, they're making these changes, however small, they're patching things, they're putting out stats, they're doing all of these things that show that they are being busy, right? Because I think the biggest fear from the community would just be, okay, so they come out with 3 expansions a year and in between they don't do anything. And every single year, you know, like, we get these, you know, the rotation, we have the tournaments, and then this will just continue on until the game dies. Like, that's the big fear. And all of these changes, all these information leaks, like, it's just really cool. It shows that the game is healthy. They're, like, committed to doing stuff.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like, these type of changes, because these aren't changes that people were talking about at all. You know what I mean? And these are changes that it's kind of cool internally that they've been looking at, and they are kind of annoying things that they are fixing. So it's nice, definitely, in that regard, particularly like the Murloc thing, right? Like, mirror matchups are completely different now, you know, in terms of how, especially the War Leader. The War Leader was like who would basically who would anything first, right? And it was like a little bit of a chicken game there, and that was somewhat ridiculous. You know, it really should have just been your Murlocs. It reminded me of the whole beast. Remember when God, what was it? Was it Hyena?
Scavenging Hyena?
Yeah, Hyena used to just be buffed off any beast that was killed. That was and insane.
Also, Eagle Horn Bow used to trigger off any secret.
Any secret, too? Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. And this is more consistent with the changes that they made in the past. What do you guys think about the Rogue change?
Oh, the Aether Peddler one. Yeah. I actually got a very value from that because I was playing Druid against Druid, and mm-hmm. he mulched my Ragnaros, and I got Aether Peddler. So, because of the new change, I essentially, you know, got Innovate on every single Druid spell.
Which is crazy.
Before it wouldn't have worked because, you know, it's Druid cards in the Druid's hand. So, yeah, it's definitely very different. Obviously, you're not going runs that scenario all the time, but it's just an example of that change actually affecting a game.
Yeah. Oh, that's brutal. like Druid needed any more cost reduction. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I heard something interesting. I forgot where I heard it from, but people were saying that this change and this specificity could also impact sort of like future design down the line, yeah, right? For example, if they make dual class cards or something, or, you know, you need the specificity. Like the old text was vague and you didn't really know how it would apply to these potential new theories. So I think that's pretty cool. It's just them getting ahead of, you know, of this potential like design problem that they could encounter. So
yeah, agreed. Cool. What do you guys think of the quests? That was obviously a big topic in the community.
I mean, people have been asking for quests where you don't have to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think this is a great example of Blizzard listening to the community. It's just like fun little things. You just play cards and it doesn't matter if you win or lose. And it really helps the people who don't take this game seriously, because right now Hearthstone content, everything out there is all catered towards the high end. Mm-hmm. But there's so much people who just have a very little small collection, or, you know, they're stuck in rank 15 where winning games are a bit more hasslesome. So I really love the quest. I don't know if the average of value actually went up, like, because they introduced so much. I'm very curious to see if the overall gain in terms of gold is positive or negative.
All right. I don't know. I mean, it's 50, right? Versus it used to just be 40 or 60, right?
Yeah, it's 50.
And there's an 80 and 100, but there was never something in between the 40 and 60, which are the most common ones. Merps, you're going to say something?
I hate the change.
What? Really?
No. Okay, I was.
Oh, you're an arena player.
I personally hate the change. I think that it is extremely healthy for the game, and it is something that like 95% of the player base will enjoy. But when I get stuck on a quest, like play 30 taunt minions or playing like
overload
10. God. Yeah, right. Play this many overload creatures or play this many enrage creatures. Like I was stuck with the enrage and I was like, all right, maybe I'll get an Imani Berserker, right? Or maybe an Aberrant Berserker in my deck. And then I would have to play that like 10 times and maybe I'll complete the quest in this one run, but probably not. You know, as an arena player, it was much easier for me to do it with just seeing like, you know, see what classes I get and then either to win 3 games with X class or Y class, or win 5 games with a certain class, or, you know, those were much easier for arena players to fulfill. And now I'm just like, well, if you have to play like 30 Murlocs or you have to play 10 secrets, that's really tough to do in one or even two arena runs. You have to play multiple arena runs just to get your 50 gold back.
Yeah, it's not really synergistic with the arena deck building style. I mean, just that whole process. But anyway, you know, putting Mechatorps type of, you know, workshop to the quests, what kind of arena quests would you like to see? Arena-centric quests. Mixing
you know,
in there.
You know, I think the quest, like, you know, when they do these things, I don't think they should limit it to the arena. And if they're going to cater it towards something, I do agree they should cater it towards constructed and casual. And just because those have more of a quest type of feel to them, right? Where you're pointing those sort of play and that sort of deck building in a direction, which is like how I think of quests when you play any sort of RPG or something. When you go into the arena, it's almost like you're taking up a quest already, in my opinion. So if you're already taking up, yeah, if you're already taking up a quest, you don't need to have, you know, like overlap this broad quest into another quest. Like I said, I don't like it, but I wouldn't even change it because I think that the value added to the game by not catering this aspect of the game to Arena is actually good.
I agree with all those things, but I think they should add some Arena-centric quests, though, because the whole goal of the quests, I feel like, is not only just to add some new stuff to it, but I feel like it should be to encourage people to try different things. You know, with decks, and you know, if it's an overload, well, try to build an overload deck. You know, if it's an enrage one, try to build an enrage deck. And it the same should go.
You are going to give up a lot of wins for that.
I know, but it still encourages that type of, you know, that type of style of playing Hearthstone, not a crazy competitive thing. You know, more like discovering different types of archetypes for the decks and that sort of thing. And I'm a huge fan of that sort of approach to Hearthstone. And from the same sense, there's a lot of people that probably don't play Arena very often, or they're not motivated to play it. And this quest could allow them to be motivated, even just a very simple one. Just, you know, one or two runs or three runs with a hunter on Arena, or, you know, mage on Arena. That's a no-brainer. Ooh, but something like that, I think, would still be...
I think there's just too much people out there who hates Arena, like, will avoid it no matter what. And, quest that forces you to go in Arena, like, you're right, there's some people who've never tried Arena, they're scared, and this would be a great opportunity for them to test it out. But I can definitely tell you that there's going to be rioting on social media if Blizzard introduced like Arena only quest.
I 100% agree. So, like, you know, you could think on one hand, oh, a natural progression would be, you know, how they have the 60 gold for win 5 brawls, right? It's like, oh, why not 60 gold for win 5 arenas? But brawls are free. Brawls are free. And even if it's just I'm not talking about 5 arena runs. 5 arena runs takes forever. Like 5 arena games, like, right?
You can, you know, make the rewards appropriate. I mean, it could be 200 gold for whatever. You know, like, it doesn't have to be 50 or 40, but
sure.
But your point is, yeah, there's a lot of people that don't like Arena, but just maybe add one quest. It's like one out of, I don't know how many quests there are in the database right now. You know, it's not that many. Right. I feel like there should be some love showed to each of the formats. If that's what you want people to do, I mean, you want people to discover some of these game formats you met, right? Or that you made, right? So why not just add one wild one too? I mean, I bet people would have less of a problem with a wild one than the Arena. But the wide one that already has overlap, right? Just because you're playing those type of decks anyway. So
yeah, I mean, in the end, I really agree with Toast's point in which, like, whenever you have to pay to complete a quest, even though, you know, mathematically, if they do comp you, you know, it's a bigger gold reward. In our mind, you know, we don't calculate like the implied odds or, you know, the ROI of these things, like, innately. The fact that for 99% of players, they see I have to pay to do this quest, and, you know, quest should be just a bonus, right? They should just be given to me. Like, that sucks. Like, it feels bad, right? And Blizzard is the ultimate company that never wants you to feel bad. I mean, even though you feel bad a lot.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
But, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think even something like a free arena run quest is, like, a rare one. I think people will still complain about it. because people say
that's so good.
That would be great. A free arena is 150 gold. I mean, it's like.
But then you get people
and
saying,
"More players for me to stomp." That's perfect. I love this. Come on.
Yeah, like this only benefits people who are good at arena. All I get is a terrible pack, while they get like, you know, 3 packs and, you know, 300 gold. Why can't I get something similar to constructed?
Jeez.
I think that's the realistic things that. Arena is very divisive. Like, either you love it or you just stay away from it because you hate the drafting, you hate the RNG, like having to know which card to pick. So I think ultimately any arena-based quest would be very hard to balance.
We should make a poll. I'm actually really, really curious even with the people here, like how they would vote on it. I'll probably make a poll later.
I think people would like the free arena run.
Yeah, what if it was a free arena run? That's actually a very good way to package it.
That's a lot of value. Yeah, that's a lot of value there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay, so that probably wraps up just the update that they had. Another big piece of news that came out was the Hearthstone Championship Tour 2017 preview. So they listed out some of the, they didn't go into full details, but they did talk about some of the changes that are upcoming, and from the standpoint of just how the actual competitive circuit will be run, and how playoffs will be, seasonal playoffs and that sort of thing, as well as prize pools and points, they touched on briefly. But also they touched on these brand new things, which are Hearthstone Global Games, as well as the Hearthstone Invitationals.
Kind
of an interesting pun there. So let's start off with just the changes that they listed out here for the Hearthstone Championship Tour. One of the first things that they talked about was that they're going to be creating these seasonal finals that will bring all the regions together for, you know, just like more of that type of finals, instead of having the finals for Asia and then having the finals for NA and then having the finals for Europe. And literally we never see these guys cross over, like playing each other, until the very end at BlizzCon, right? So what do you guys think of that? Topes, you want to start?
I think it's awesome. We don't see a lot of international games involving like all four regions that often. I think most of the Hearthstone tournaments are based in Europe, and most of the streamed ones are, of course, going to be based in Europe. So I'm excited to see, because I have no idea who the Asian players are. All my Hearthstone knowledge is, you know, in Europe on NA. So it's awesome to see. Like right now, I'm getting exposure to like Omega Zero because of the championship going on, and he's playing like insanely right now, but I never heard of him. So yeah, excited to see more international events.
Yeah, exactly. I think it will give a lot more exposure, at least for us, to that scene, and just even the player, it's going to benefit them in a big way too. How about you, Merce?
So I need to answer with a question.
Okay, sure.
Because right, so to help me understand this, because I don't follow the constructed scene that much, and because of that, I definitely don't know about tournament structure. So the problem I have seen sort of with constructed and tournaments is like, how does Blizzard balance the fact that a lot of people want to see matchups between players that they know? Like, they want to see like Firebat versus Kalento, right? Like Strife Pro versus Ostaka, or like, you know, those like mega matchups. But you also want to have, you know, you don't want to give those guys too many points, and you also want to have space so that players like Hot Meow can rise up and, you know, make a name of their own. Like, do these changes move towards a balance of that? Like, I don't even know really like what the situation was before. I just know there was a problem in which like people wanted these mega matchups, but the concern was then like it would be too hard for these up and comers to really prove themselves. So like, do these changes like do anything for that?
Yeah. The new Invitational, I think it's designed for that, because the Invitational is meant to invite Hearthstone personalities. So I think the exact word were popular streamers and celebrities, winners of major tournaments. It's going to be meant for like guys like Kriparian and Trump and Amaz, and maybe this guy's Toast, hint, hint. Obviously, you know, those people aren't going to win any like high ladder tournaments. In the upcoming future, but obviously everyone wants to see them, right? So I think this is a great way for the Hearthstone guys to be able to feature that without compromising the integrity of, you know, doing Invitational only with popular people. Like, there's still going to be the whole competitive aspect of it, which is going to be separate from the fun stuff. So everyone gets what they want.
Yeah, so okay. To answer your question, Merbs, like, I think, you know, just a little bit, your question directly, it's they did have a problem with that, because what would end up happening is that basically for each of the seasons, you know, for HCT, you'd almost have like you'd almost start over after every season. It wasn't like a complete start over, but it was pretty close to starting over. So what would happen a lot of times is you would get a completely new set of people in the finals or in the final playoffs. Now you had a handsome guy actually win three of them for Asia, so that's like crazy and inconsistent. But for the other regions, you know, you would see different people because, you know, Tice qualified for the first one, and once you qualify, like, or once you win like one of the seasons, you don't really have to do much the rest of the year, and you're already in BlizzCon. You know, like you already qualified for BlizzCon. So because of that, that's one reason why you didn't see Tice like in the others necessarily. And Amnesiac, same thing. So what we would end up seeing is just a bunch of different faces every single at the finals for every season. And that's not the same as saying like we want to see guys like Crip and whatnot playing Hearthstone. But at the same time, you can't build these guys up. Like none of these new names and these talented players can build up a brand or whatnot if you don't see them recurring. You know, like you don't see them like coming back and in the same position again, you know, from season to season, or at least giving them the opportunity to do that. So I think that these type of changes helps out with that, because there will be some point carryover from season to season. There will be, you know, I think each of the finals or the seasonal playoffs will be individual. They're supposed to be more like kind of like majors that you qualify for, I guess you could say. You could view it like that. They're not branding it like that or marketing it that way, but it's kind of like that. And there'll also be Swiss too, by the way, like, which is very, very different than what they've done in the past. And that's a pretty big thing. But yeah, so I think moving this, I don't think it's like the perfect solution, but it's moving towards a solution where you're trying to get players that are super good, like consistently showing up for these huge tournaments. And then like Toast said, the invitationals, those are like the Batstone tournaments, you know what I mean? They're Blizzard's trying to provide a brand for that element of events too, which is something we can talk about, you know, in a second, also, but yeah, so that it's kind of trying to solve that. So I think that's really, really good. The points were, you know, this whole system of like trying to make this open, you know, like just fair to everybody. So me and you and Toast, like we could qualify for the BlizzCon championships, you know, that whole element. I think that went over a little bit too far. You know, like I think they made it like too much, too open. So I think they're breaking it up a little bit more into tiers so that it's not, you know, it's like each season isn't like a start, like a do-over. You're starting completely over. And, you know, it carries a little bit over. And we actually see some of the carryover from, you know, people were complaining this past week that there was some carryover from this winter season into the next season, right? Or this summer season into the winter season the points. Like the people going to BlizzCon will get points for the next season automatically. And that's, you know, that I think some people had issues with that. But that was already in the rules, like in the very beginning of the year. So that's what I've been told, and I don't know why everybody was complaining about that if it was in the rule sets.
Well, similar, like the carryover issue also happened with Handsome Guy, right? We talked about this last time. Because I don't know how exactly it works, but in Asia, if you qualify for one final, you automatically qualify for the next group stage.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it was different. So, it was different in Asia than it was in NA and EU.
Yeah, people... Yeah, it's hard because you want consistent behavior to be rewarded, but at the same time, like, how much of a free ticket was it, right? Like, because he skipped a lot of rounds, but we already talked about all this. We don't have to get into it.
Well, I mean, there should be a prelim, you know, like basically a round, you know, what you would consider qualifiers, you know, if you're used to the current structure of a lot of the events, there should be a qualifier that gets you into that main event. And their reward for winning the last one is getting a ticket to the main event. Like, I don't see there being any issues with that. You know, is it completely fair with the next guy? Well, I mean, probably not if you're like you have a rule set that's just open to anything. You know, if you're looking at everything completely, you know, just from a non-biased, you know, just objective standpoint. But, you know, there is definitely some reward for doing what, you know, just having that person automatically in the next one. At least it's like defending the last season's championship, you know, that's a good storyline. And, you know, we saw with Handsome Guy, it's three-time champion. That's one of the things that we're talking about, like going into BlizzCon. That's really, really cool.
Yeah. Speaking of new events, like Merps, is there any arena event you want Blizzard to do? Like, cause when people bring up arena events, they So the most common ideas I always hear is the one where everyone draft their decks and they rebuild it and construct it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sloppy.
The lore of the arena format, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it works to some degree, but it's not true arena. But, you know, if Blizzard's involved, I think they can, like, bend the rules to allow, like, three copies of a kind. But, like, I mean, you have way more experience in arena than all of us. So, like, if there's an arena event by Blizzard, like, what are something cool or fun? Because, you know, arena is not something that's featured by Blizzard when it's coming.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you asked. I mean, this is something I was going to bring up a little bit later on as well. But, you know, we can talk about parts of it right here. Honestly, so speaking, I guess, for the arena community somewhat, like, we just want something right now. Because, like, we're so starved and, you know, like, we've been so neglected. You know, recently they've done some changes, which we'll talk about. But for a, sort of a tournament setting, we're just like, look, any sort of tournament, any sort of competitive gathering slash competitive aspect of the arena would be much appreciated because... you know, it is a format that I think has so much untapped potential, right? So, like, the tournament format that you were talking about, if they just made a sort of a mode where you can do, like, you know, 8 players draft, and then they have, you know, like, bracket style, like, and like March Madness, right, where, you know, you play, and then one person comes out as the champion. If they did a tournament like that, or they just did a mode where you can, like, face each other using sort of the arena-style drafting where you don't have to limit your draft to, you know, account for the fact that you can only fit 2 cards in your deck, right? Like, it really messes with your head, and it creates this other skill set where if on turn 6 you're offered a Death's Bite and you already have a Death's Bite and you're just like, well, okay, I don't know if I take this Death's Bite now because maybe I just take, like, the Yeti, right? Like, Yeti is a good card. Death's Bite is a better card. Like, it's something you normally wouldn't think if you just take the second Death's Bite and say, oh, it's a better pick. My deck hasn't really fleshed out yet. It creates a different set of circumstances and a different set of rules that really doesn't test your arena knowledge. So, like, the way that we can do arena tournaments right now is just so sloppy. It's just like, I don't know why Blizzard hasn't, like, done something in the 3+ years. I think it's 3+ years that the game has been in existence.
Like, I agree. I mean, I think there should be some type of contest and event regarding arena, but it doesn't have to be a single day. It doesn't have to be one that anything that even resembles what we see right now with standard events and tournaments. Because to be fair to them, like, I think the form, like, just generally the arena format and how the decks are built, it's not easy to pull off an event, actually, you know, because the restrictions that arena has. And yeah, could they build maybe like a custom type of client that would allow for a bunch of things like you were talking about, Toast? They could, but I mean, they probably don't have time to do that, especially for something that's so specialized, and who knows how many people are actually going to do arena events. But I would like to see something, at the very least, what, you know, we as a community, you know, Moz in particular with the whole 110 thing, I mean, create these type of contests, you know, and even just like leaderboards or whatnot. I mean, that at the very least would be something that you guys can work towards. And I mean, this is the first time we even saw like an infographic on just the arena stuff. So
I was going to talk about that a lot, actually. So when they came out with the infographic, that was something that really I thought was really cool. But then it was something that I actually felt disappointed. Right. I was like, I had no idea this was coming out. If I knew it was coming out, I would have adjusted my play in the past 9 months, right?
So you wanted to be on the top list.
Oh, here
seriously.
We go.
I mean, I want to be number one. Like, yeah. I mean, if you are someone who takes arena seriously, sure, and there's lots of streamers that do, you want to not only make the list, you want to crush everyone on that list, right? Like, I want to face my fellow streamers that I highly respect. I want to play arena as best as I can, and I want to crush it, and I want to rub it in all of their faces. Like, that's how it should be, right?
Yeah, I can definitely.
No casual
agree.
Arena here, boys.
Yeah, because, I mean, the title of best arena player is something that's very hotly contested, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And Kriparian, everyone considers Kriparian, and he's really good. Like, but there's also the benefit of just sheer number of games played.
Is that a benefit? I don't know if that's
I mean,
a
it's, benefit.
It's not think just what, that. I'll say
the most
this,
true, like, I think, of all those numbers that were shown because
his
of
sample,
the sample
size. Right. Like, I'm not going to take anything away from Crip. He is an amazing player. It's just, I think it's a lost opportunity for a lot of players just because, you know, some players might not play all the best classes, right? Like, for example, when I look at that infograph, I'm like, every time I pick Priest over Mage, or I pick, like, you know, Warrior over Rogue, I'm just like, oh, I guess I gave up, like, one or two wins every single time, right? So we learned afterwards also that you can't, like, you can't retire decks. If you retire a deck, like, that's an automatic 0-3. So you, like, and it's basically as if you are, like, you're playing a game and you didn't even know that there would be an award at the end, and you didn't know the rules either, right? Yeah. And then at the end, they're like, hey, this person won. And yes, like, it's really cool. And yes, like, it doesn't really matter for most people, because you could just say, oh, it's just, you know, some extra cool information that people put out. But for the really, like, the people who want to get competitive arena and who, you know, really are into it, like, I feel as if I'm like, man, you know, if I, you know, if everyone knew about the rules, if everyone did it, and then I failed, I was like, you know, number 10,652. I was like, man, I just suck at the arena. At least I can go to bed at night being like, hey, look, I tried. I didn't do well. That's cool.
Sure,
I see something like this, I'm just like, I guess I was never in it to start. Like, because, like, sometimes I'd, you know, joke around, retire a deck, or, like, be like, oh, I'll just click all the left cards and see how far I get. You know, stuff like that. Like, those hurt you, right? And this is why I'm like, please just put out a leaderboard. And there are,
That's what it comes back to. It's just that they just need to have a leader. They don't have to have a full out ladder. They just have to have a leaderboard that lists the top, I don't know, 100 arena players or something like that. And maybe even just have your averages. You know, like, at least make it transparent what it's based on, too. And I think that would be great. And if we had a leaderboard for every single class, that'd be perfect. You know, and I agree.
Anyways,
we will see something like that.
You can tell this is something I feel very passionate about.
That's understandable.
Crush everyone.
And, I mean, that's why it's important, right? Just, I mean, that's why I like to have you guys on, you know, every once in a while, just to you know, give the arena perspective, because, you know, the arena is, I don't know, what would you say, 10-15% of the community still, like, something like that?
I think so. I think they had numbers at one point. It was like 14%. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Tosh, you actually thought it was less, right? Like, last time we talked about it.
I thought it was like 10%.
Yeah.
Nah.
But yeah, I can understand why you're not too, I mean, I get that Blizzard did something fun. Like, they showed off stats, which is, you know, something they don't really do, and they did it in a very fun format where they showed the best. Like, obviously, they didn't show, like, the average Priest win rate. They didn't show anything that would make people upset. It's like, oh my god, Priest has a, you know, 30% win rate. This, you know, they just showed the best Priest player, but
which made people, like, upset too.
Yeah, but like Merp said, when you're a streamer or you're, you know, a content creator, you want to have fun. So I'm sure this time, like, the whole 110 thing where you're forced to pick different class every time, like, those affect the score. Like, when you're trying to educate, like, hey, let's do a Priest stream today and show off, you know, how you would play as a Priest, you know, that hits your score. But obviously, we're not trying to, like, blame Blizzard for this, but it does kind
of... Well, you know, the 110 challenge for me, and we spoke about it, like, I don't know how many episodes ago, the 110 challenge was literally just Amaz putting down a bet to, other, like, friends. Like, you, it was like, to you and Hafu and to Ratsma, probably? I mean... It was just a bet amongst friends that just turned into a community-wide event, and it was fun. I mean, it was fun for the whole community to watch, you know, Two Beers, you know, stream, and just everybody that was trying and getting really close, and was making it on Reddit. And Blizzard could have easily done that. I mean, there was no work involved. It was just issuing a bet with
a few
parameters.
It really shows the untapped potential of you know, of what can be possible when you put out a leaderboard in terms of just interest, right? Like, no, not everyone will be interested in gunning for like number one position or like top 25 position, just because not everyone is interested in gunning for, you know, number one ladder NA, but people are interested in seeing like who the players are, right? They're interested in seeing the jostling. You know, I remember when like 6-0 was always the first one to get to legend. People like were interested in that as well, right? Like there are storylines that can be made, and you know, there's like, I feel as if it's a lost opportunity, because you know, a tournament system like we talked about, that's pretty tough to do, but a leaderboard in which you lay out these rules and tell these like hyper competitive and you know, very serious players that just go at it, like we will go at it, right? Like I know for a fact that you know, a lot of the streamers, like, you know, Hafu is very competitive. I'm sure Crip would like be in like really into it as well. Ratsma, I think, like, you know, he just wouldn't stop playing if there was a leaderboard. He's like super competitive as well. And that's awesome. Like you set the rules and you just like unleash everyone and see what happens. And then, you know, from month to month basis, people will be interested in like, you know, who's coming up, who's coming down. And then it'll get unknowns into the scene as well, right? Like if there is a scene, because right now there is no scene. You know, you watch streams and you're like, oh, this person's good, that person's good. And then maybe they stat track on their own. That's cool. And if another person stat tracks, you can compare those. But there's no excitement. There's no drama, because there's nothing to gun for, right? Yeah, you play and you get gold and you don't even use the gold because you don't play constructed. So it is really just a hamster running on a wheel, and you enjoy running on that wheel. But man, you wish there was something more than you running on this wheel.
Who can run on the wheel longer is basically,
basically
a record book for that. So I'm very hopeful that they will be coming out with some things for Arena. And I think these type of things that we're talking about for HTT are just the beginning of those type of things. Because with the Hearthstone, I'm kind of showing it, right? The invitationals, they list all kinds, like, crazy, you know, different formats. And, you know, it'll be really, really interesting as to what comes out here. But actually, getting back to this, we kind of got off track a little bit. The Hearthstone Global Games, we haven't even talked about. So that's pretty interesting. They're basically creating a national type of competition where it's like a team-based national competition. And I've always been a huge fan of that, just because I feel like nationalism is something that's very accessible. So people that don't know Hearthstone, if they just happen to come across this global games type of format, they're going to root for the country that they're in. I mean, it's just like watching an Olympic game that or an Olympic sport, you have no idea what's going on. I'm rooting for America, USA, regardless of like whether I know this sport or not. Same type of thing, you know, with the whole national team event. So I'm really glad, really happy to hear that they're going to be doing something for this. You know, what do you guys think?
Overwatch is doing something like that right now.
They have the World Cup that's going to be at BlizzCon. Yeah.
And that one's country-based as well, right?
That one's country-based, but that one's based... Yeah, that one's country-based. It was based on basically the top four slots, or six. There's six slots, right, for an Overwatch team. The top four were voted in... they were nominated by Blizzard, and then the masses voted on who they wanted in. So you have this mixture of like top pro players and YouTubers, and you know,
right? And I'm reading this, and it says consists of the top Hearthstone competitive point earner from the country,
yep,
and three of their fellow community voted country persons.
Yeah.
So is it going to be a similar situation where? Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think so. I don't think this is supposed to be like
serious.
The best country, yeah, highly competitive. This is supposed to be more on the fun side, like more of a national, like all-star type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it really does seem to be very similar to what they're doing with Overwatch. I think it's fantastic because you, number one, get to see a lot of big names, right? You get to see the big names, which I'm guessing will be the community voted country persons, and you get to see sort of, you know, these players that consistently make it to the top of the ladder as well. It's a way to sort of align yourself to a team, right? Which is really smart. Like Blizzard is really capitalizing on this. People love to be a part of, you know, it's just like red versus blue, right? People would just love to pick a side and then like trash talk the other side or, you know, root for their side. What they're doing for BlizzCon and, you know, you choosing your champion, that's huge. It's getting so many people invested. Something like this in which you could be invested in your country and also invested in your favorite player at the same time, it's just great. Like, it will provide interest and people can like watch these great competitions between, I guess, some unknowns, but a lot of, you know, it's going to include everyone that we know, right? So yeah, even if Kalento, you know, just doesn't feel like laddering up, I'm pretty sure he will be voted in just because he's so popular. And that's great. Like, it's exactly what we want to see out of like the invitationals as well. So, yeah. I mean, like, with the success that Overwatch has seen with their sort of global tournament, this can only be a good thing.
Yeah, it gives an opportunity for some of these players that nobody knows either to have the ability to get on these big stages, because there's a lot of countries, guys. I mean, a lot of our favorite players and streamers are all from all kinds of different countries. So if you need to build a team of just say four, I mean, there's going to be a large amount of players that we probably haven't even heard of, or at least a large number of community folks haven't even heard of, especially the ones that are chosen based on points. So, yeah, I think it's just a great opportunity, just even more exposure to competitive Hearthstone and just a better opportunity for the players to get more exposure. So it's definitely good. And then the Invitational. Like, so we talked about this. The only concern I have for the Invitationals is I hope this doesn't become like the, you know, kind of brand in which, you know, we do these different types of formats, because, you know, like stuff like Batstone, right? Super, super successful, the first one. And it's already kind of created its own community brand. I would hate for Blizzard to come in with their own that just kind of like stomps on all these different community, you know, attempts at events, because, you know, there are a lot of really great ones that have been created by folks that put a lot of time and effort into trying to build these up too. So, you know, like Challenge, let's just say like they come up with this and then all of a sudden Challenge Zone just doesn't mean as much anymore. And, you know, the Batstone doesn't mean as much anymore because everybody's just like, oh, it's not a Hearthstone Invitational, you know? So maybe they'll do something in like maybe working with some of these organizers too. And that would be pretty cool. But overall, I think it's a great thing. It's just, that's the only thing I worry about a little bit.
I actually don't worry about that as much, because the way I see it is, like, if they do something similar to Challenge Stone, or if they do something similar to, you know, to Firebat's tournament, what would happen is, you know, the market would shift and, you know, I'm sure Blizzard would put a lot of production value into it. You know, they would put a lot of resources into it. And people who want to create these tournaments, content creators, they will fill gaps in the market, right? Like, how did these tournaments start? It's because people wanted something a little bit different. Like, for example, Firebat's tournament started because people were just like, man, I'm really tired of seeing Tunnel Trog into Totem Golem into Tuskar into 7-7, right? Like, so Firebat, I don't know his thought process, but part of it must have been like, you know, why not do a tournament where we can get rid of some of these cards that people just see as inherently unfair, right? So that was just like a gap in the market. And then, you know, he did that. So even if Blizzard sort of steps on or crosses paths that have already been crossed, all of the, like, it sort of like allows people to, you know, further explore and then sort of, you know, fill in the gaps, right? Because there's always going to be gaps. There's always going to be like further sort of tournaments that people can do that differ in presentation, that differ in structure, that people can do. So I don't see it necessarily as a problem, you know, like it could even sort of like legitimize these things that people have been doing. And then other groups, other people will continue to innovate because, you know, something is just being refined.
Yeah. I mean, from my experience, Blizzard has always been super supportive of community stuff. I mean, look at, you know, Firebat right now. He's casting the HCT. I'm sure a big part of it was because of his performance at Batstone. You know, he was commentating, he organized it, and, you know, Blizzard wants to be a part of that. So I don't see Blizzard like taking over. I mean, they've shown a lot of support to like the community Fireside. Like, they send out like
there's no question that.
I think if there's gonna be any overlap, I think the Blizzard would just end up getting the people who organize these community tournaments and just getting them to do it in an official capacity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping. And I mean, to be fair, they probably planned this thing before Bastion even happened. And there was no question there was a time and period where there was nothing. There were no events that were being, you know, created that had these different types of format. So, yeah, definitely if nobody's doing it here. Okay, so the new, at least theme for the expansion coming up is very, very clear with Gadget Zan being all these graphics literally coming out every other day. I think there's been some mixed reviews on Gadget Zan. I think most people are actually enjoying it or whatnot. But
I think the biggest one is Goblin versus Gnome.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Gadget Zan is a Goblin city. So what they're afraid of is another Goblin-based theme, but doesn't feel like that yet. From what we've seen, it looks like they're taking this in a different direction. Because the Gadget Zan in World of Warcraft isn't that interesting. It's a, you know, a pretty barren city, but like, oh, in Hearthstone, they're making it seem like, oh, there's so much like shops going on, you know.
Yeah, it's
there's
like a market bank heist,
you know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cool things going on, so I don't think people should be too worried about it being goblin focused.
All right, Merps.
I have no idea. I just want cool cards.
He don't care about themes. Whatever.
I'm like lore. Like I never played WoW, so every time they introduced, you know, a new character or a new this or a new that, I'm like, who? What? I'm like, okay. Like, are you? Yeah. It's like you're dead. You're not dead. You're this person's father. Like Star Wars. Okay, fine. Like it's all gibberish to me. So I have no idea.
they did something cool with Talan's Bar, which is a Hearthstone messenger. It's essentially a bot that you talk to, and it'll reply like funny phrases and give you like teaser pictures. So yeah, it looks like, I mean, at this point, I think it's really safe to say it's something about Gadget Zan.
Yeah, I would think so too.
But how exactly they want to go with it, you know, it's still not 100% clear. Some people say it's like a bank heist. Some people say it's like a travel agency because of these gazettes they're putting out. It's like, hey, come travel to Gadget Zan. So it's very excited to see. I get a lot of requests to make a video about this, but I mean, Blizzard's not being shy with their information. It's like they're just throwing it at you. Like,
Gadget Zan. So here's the thing. How does Gadget Zan and Priests go together? Because this is supposed to be a powerful priest, and this is what I'm expecting at least, some kind of powerful
shielded mini priest. Yep.
Okay.
You heard it here first, guys.
Okay.
All I want is a unicorn reference. Like one unicorn reference will make me so happy.
Oh, that would be pretty funny. But yeah, so Gadget Zan. I mean, at least we kind of know the theme now, and you know, of course, the big announcement at BlizzCon is. We're going to see a lot of the cards, if not all the cards. Hopefully we won't see them before the announcement. I think last year they were leaked a little bit early on Reddit.
Was there?
Yeah, I think so. I remember talking to some of the Reddit folks and it was just like, oh my God, it was so crazy because it was like all these cards are leaked and stuff. So,
I think what was leaked, there was like a list of voice actor leaked and it had all the names like Reno Jackson, Rafam, like out there. But we didn't know what it was, but it was like, wow, what's with these? Because the new skins were leaked like that. Like, Tyrande was leaked last year, as well as Liadrin. So there's one guy on there that's not released yet, which is the new Rogue skin. But
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see if things leak again. It always seems like there's a leak. Whispers of the Old Gods got leaked because people painted the freaking logo on the side of a building a day ahead.
Right, I remember that. Yeah.
That was... No. No, but I guess why don't we just talk about what do you guys expect or what are you guys hoping to see at BlizzCon from the standpoint of the announcement? Because, you know, BlizzCon's that one stage where every one of the games wants to have something ready and you know, they don't want to be one-upped by the other game franchises. And so they usually want to, you know, create a very big, you know, kind of package of announcements.
I don't know. Like last year, last year when BlizzCon came around, it was in a very like negative mood. in the community. I think it's kind of similar. All they announced was League of Explorers, but they did announce that it was available within a week.
Yeah.
So that was a huge deal for everyone. Like,
but that's an adventure mode. Full out expansion.
So for this, all I'm expecting is just the theme announcement, a few cards, tradition, like as per tradition. What I am interested in, two things, is when is it going to actually be released? Are they going to do the same thing as last year's? Like, it's coming in, you know, 5 days, or is it going to be like normal? As well as they might be announcing the new hero there. But
wait,
I think that's the only two things we can expect.
New hero?
New rogue hero.
Oh, the one that's not like released skin. Yet. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, not
new hero. What?
Not that.
Okay.
But I think at most it's a new skin, but I don't think they have anything up their sleeves.
I hope there's at least a bundle of, you know, what was kind of in updates, you know, in the past, of just some newer things, you know like the quest, right? I hope they do some other things with achievements, or, you know, just some of the smaller things, and they have a little bit of those on top of the expansion. I mean, I'd be happy with just the expansion, but it'd be nice, you know, just to have a little bit more on top of that. Even just one, do you think it's just gonna be one skin, that's it?
I mean, I think one's, yeah, I think it's just gonna be one skin.
Yeah,
hey, look, there's the skin.
They've been really, really slow with those skins, or they saved them for cross promotional stuff, which I feel like they should just be coming out with them more. Why not, right?
I mean, they released it for $5 and everyone was upset. And then they did the Amazon Prime thing and everyone was even more upset.
Wait, they released it for $5? What do you mean? They released it for $10. It was $10 originally, right. Which I even thought it was a little high for $10. But
yeah, I guess they're just using this for very, very special occasions now. Like to gain more than just money, because Liadrin was used to gain WoW subscribers, and Morgul was used to gain, you know, new Hearthstone players, and Tyrande was, you know, for Twitch.
If I'm hoping, I hope they come out with, instead of gold cards, they come up with like platinum versions of the cards or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
That only come in packs. So yes, I know I am saying, you know, these crazy things, like I'm almost like trying to make Blizzard money, but I feel like the like rarity in general, now we're not talking about the rarity like rare or epic, rarity in general I think is missing from the game right now. And you know, that's something that Overwatch has made a lot of money off of, especially with these, you know, Halloween, you know, these events and stuff, you know, Merps, like, you know, it's like these limited time type of things. I feel like cardbacks, we're not talking about cardbacks anymore, all right? Because nobody cares about cardbacks. I mean, at least a lot of people don't care about cardbacks. So some people, what people do care about is what their cards do look like when played, or just the animations that are on there. Let's create like another level of that you can't buy, you know? And then all of a sudden we would, you know, we'd be enticed to buy more packs. We'd be enticed to do a lot of things, and that would generate them more money, and it would generate, I think, just general value in our collection.
I mean, you do make a good point. Other card games have this, right? They have like in MTG, it's what, Mythic Rares, I think, like
holographic
something
mythic
like that.
Rares.
holographic Mythic Rares, basically. I don't know what they have in Yu-Gi-Oh! I have no idea. Like in, I guess, Pokemon, they have like EX or you know, full print cards or something. Like every card game has these like super premium, ultra rare cards. I guess it would sort of make sense for Hearthstone to do it. The community would not take it well, though. Like if they introduced it from the very beginning, it would be a different thing, right? It's always something different when you introduce it after a game's been out, and then people will just say that it's a cash grab. Which,
well, it
honest,
is a cash. Even if it's a cash grab, who cares? Like honestly, who cares? I mean, for once, I'm just saying. Like Blizzard, of course, has to make money. That we want them to make money to support the game. All right, I think everybody, no matter if you're, you know, smart ass on Reddit or whatnot, you agree like with that, because we want them to continue supporting it. And secondly, like even the result of it, is just that you do have these certain elements. And I mean, it's like they'll keep complaining about it until they're the one that gets like the super rare one that's like amazing, you know, some crazy, I don't know, Ragnaros, the freaking platinum, and does like some amazing things, right? I don't know. I think, yeah, community maybe in the beginning will have a backlash, but I think in the long run, they'll accept it. I'd be surprised if they didn't accept it.
They would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right now, they can't get all the gold ones. Most of the community can't get all the gold ones anyways right now, right? So in some ways, they might actually, from a relative standpoint, enjoy this because they can be in the same boat as possibly some of the other folks that can buy more packs. I don't know. Anyways,
yeah.
I would like to see something like that. That would be pretty cool. All right, so why don't we move on to... the whole Choose Your Champion thing. So you mentioned that, right, a little bit earlier. Yeah. And so who did you guys choose?
I picked Thais.
Yeah, I did too.
I picked Amnesiac. Still in it. Yeah. Well, I mean...
Well, everybody's
still in it. Everyone's still in it.
Yeah, everyone's still in it.
You just get a head start on your pack.
Exactly. Exactly.
Some people brought up a good point where I hope that no one takes the loss too seriously in terms of
I know what you
fans
mean.
Wanting that pack. Because I made a light joke, but then people pointed out that there are some people out there who are really, it's like, oh my God, Thais, how could you? Because, there's millions of Hearthstone players and most of them aren't investing a lot of money into it. So I just hope the streamers don't get, like, the players don't get affected, which is interesting. Like, when Blizzard introduced this, everyone thought, hey, free pack, we're all happy. But I guess I didn't really think about the negativity.
It's more pressure.
That might...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's like when you see in actual sports, like when you, like, players get death threats afterwards, right? Because like if they miss the game-winning layup or if they fumble a pass that leads to a loss in the fourth quarter, like, you know, a lot of people have they don't just have emotions invested into it, they have money, and even though you pay nothing for this, people see it as like, oh, like you lost me money / you lost me that value, you lost me cards, and like, I hate you now. Like, you deserve to punish like I've been punished. I mean, it makes no sense, but like, people do think of it that way, which is unfortunate.
I think it's a super small percentage, generally, yeah. And particularly in Hearthstone. I think it's even smaller. So, I think Thais did tweet something on Twitter because a lot of people, I think, were picking Thais last week. Maybe it was joking, maybe it wasn't, but it did say something like, I hope I don't let you guys down, that sort of thing. And so maybe there it has some a little bit tiny effect, especially when they lose. I don't think they're thinking about it while they're playing, but definitely when they might be taking the losses a little bit harder, which it's already hard enough to be knocked out of BlizzCon, then on top of that,
right?
So as a community, we shouldn't take these things too seriously, from the standpoint of making packs for us and all that stuff. Like, it's just a fun thing and we should just take it as fun and that's it. I think that's it for the news. Our week in Hearthstone. So what you guys been up to? Like any cool findings, any fun stuff you guys run into this week?
No, I've been streaming a lot more lately. I think the most interesting thing is the Brian Kibler best of three game.
Yeah, that was cool. I saw that video. Yeah.
No, I was just playing Arena, man.
Of course. Yeah. For those of you who didn't see the Brian Kibler thing, like why don't you talk through it a little bit, Toast?
We just ran into each other on ladder and I whooped his ass.
Oh wow.
Easy.
he was playing Priest, which was
His
first mistake.
Yeah.
His first mistake. His second mistake was queuing into me. And so I was playing like a very greedy druid and he was playing Dragon Priest and we're just talking trash back and forth. And we're both streaming and the chat went back and forth between us. And I beat him and then we re-queue again and then we ran into each other another time. And then he got some lucky draws the second game and I DC at the end, so I guess he beat me. So we decided to have a third off-screen, off-ladder match. And, it was a lot of fun. his editor Natalie did a great job making the video amazing and funny, and yeah, it was just good times. Like, because it's fun not having to see two guys play Mirror Ring Shaman against one another, right? It was just big minions against big minions throwing to each other, and yeah, it was fun times.
Yeah, it's cool. Speaking of big minions, you just like linked me this druid that you're playing. Oh my god, look at this.
Oh, yeah.
Big Booty Drops is the name of it. So this is the deck you've been playing. So it's basically a ramp druid, right? With Alarmo Bot. Yes, man.
So this is for a free to play players, right? Definitely with
I hit Legend this month, and I'm starting to go up against actually good players, which means I lose a lot. So I just decided to go with the deck where it's like there's no skill involved. You're either gonna win or you're gonna lose, which is what the Alarma bot is for, what the Barnes for, and I mean it makes for great content. But it's actually my most consistent deck
in terms of win rate. I mean, the Alarma bot, it's like even just a flyer on turn one, right? It's like amazing.
Yeah.
Like with Innervate, it can only work with Druid.
Yeah, so it's great fun. Like you see a lot of these minions, you don't really see that much, and like Druid, the thing I hate most about Druid is turn two Wild Growth into turn four Mire Keeper. Like it's like the fiery one axe of Druid, but when you pull it off, you have just so much mana to work with, and you can just start playing big drops, and your opponent are just spending all these resources dealing the first one. They don't have anything left for the second one or the third one.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's very greedy, but it's fun, which, you know, not a lot of people
love Ramp Druid. Focus on. So. I love me some Ramp Druid. Nothing like the Aviana Innervate play, too. It's like you just throw down a bunch of stuff. So how often have you gotten the Barnes Yashiraj?
Surprisingly often. Originally, I was running Darnassus Aspirant, which makes, you know, it's essentially lose a mana. It's like a reverse Mire Keeper when you pull it out. But I took it out. Like when pulling Yashiraj out would be the best thing, but you know, pulling something like Ragnaros or Aviana, you know, it's still pretty good because you can pull Aviana and just play the big drops from your hand too, right?
Right. Let me just grab it real quick. I'll put it here so everybody can see it all at once.
Yeah. So that's a lot of fun. Especially if you go up against control decks, eventually they're just going to run out of removal. Against mid-range deck, you're pretty much going to lose most of the time, unless you draw the nuts, or like Barnes pull something out, or you innovate out Alarma Bot. Because against Zoo can't deal with innovate Alarma Bot. I actually won 3 games in under 5 minutes because I got really lucky and got the Alarma Bot dream start each time, and the game's over by turn 3, right? But most of the times you're just losing.
Dude, totally trying this out later tonight. Yeah. This looks really, really fun. And those of you just like, you know, listening on iTunes or whatnot, it's got the Innervate, the Raven Idols, Loot Hoarders, Wild Growth Wrath, 2 Alarmo Bots, 1 Feral Rage of Barnes, Mire Keeper Swipes, Nourish, Emperor Thorazan, and then here comes the big guns. Sylvanas, Chilmaw, Ragnaros, Aviana, Sogoth, Ysera, Deathwing, both Deathwings, and then Yashiraj. So that's nice. That's definitely nice. Have you ever drafted anything like this, Merps, in Arena?
Oh, all the time. It's the only way that I can be infinite. You know, otherwise, like I don't win based off skill or, you know, making reads or plays. All right, I Barnes into Deathwing Dragonlord into 4 dragons. Like that's the only way I can get past 7. So I'm very familiar with this kind of deck. Believe me,
he Barnes is into Angry Chicken is what he means, guys. but yeah, this is definitely awesome. Okay. Oh, for one thing I forgot to mention last week is that we're starting to add a bunch of these decks that we do on Value Town. Actually, we're adding it on Hearthstone. We might actually add it on Tempest Storm too, just so because I know some of you guys like both sites. But right now, we have an account that's called Value Tech, actually, on both of them. And I figured it was the best way for a lot of folks have been asking about decks, and you know, I always point them to the notes for each of the shows, and then they have to go and find the notes. So I figured the easiest way to do it is just have an account that has a bunch of all the decks that we talk about on the show, and then you can just, you know, just go out and look at the most recent ones added, and those are the ones that you can see. So I figured that would be a little bit easier. It's going to be Value Tech. That's going to be the name of the account. A little bit easier for you guys. Okay, well, I'm going to have, why don't we have Merps talk a little bit about Arena? But before we do that, I do want to give a shout out to some of our folks on iTunes that have left 5-star reviews. Red Ring Hater, The Bentrick, Thor Wolf, and Jay Vincent, one. Thanks for doing that. And for any of you other folks that do listen to Value Town on iTunes or Android, Google Music Podcast, leaving reviews helps out the podcast a lot. So if you want to help in that way, that'd be awesome. Also, I want to give a big shout out to our patrons. We do have a patron for Value Town, patreon.com/Value Town. The show is completely supported by you guys. And, you know, for us to continue doing what we do on this show, it'd be awesome if you guys can support. We do want to give a shout out to a few of those folks too, the patrons that are supporting: Gary D, Devin W, David T, Jacob P, Eric C, Atomic Junkie, Ninja Fada, and Eric F. Thanks so much for helping out the show, and some of those folks for a long time too. So you guys are awesome. Okay, so Arena summary, Merps. You've already talked a little bit about what you'd like to see, but let's just talk about what's actually happening in Arena right now. The last thing that we heard about with Arena was really just a lot of removal, like a lot of cards removed from the Arena pool. And a lot of people speculated how that would help, how that would hurt. I figured let's just start off with that. Like, how has it, like, what's the current state of Arena, and how did the whole card removal help?
There's there's also the removal of Karazhan's weighted thing, right?
That's true.
So yeah, let's begin just by saying I think that it is a very exciting time to be playing the Arena right now, just because, you know, the Arena community has basically, you know, we sort of got used to just being, okay, expansion comes out, there's an offering bonus, we play with the offering bonus, right? So every single Arena meta is defined by the cards that came out in the last expansion. So for Karazhan example, mages are defined by Firelands Portal and Babbling Book and Medivh's Valet. And warriors are defined by Fool's Bane. You know, that's the card that they will pick very often. And, you know, it's defined by all of these neutral cards as well. Like, everyone's going to have Pompous Thespian, because it's a 2-drop and it's so important. Also, it's a taunt, so it provides something extra for a 2-drop. And as for warriors, like, you know, something that helps them greatly in the neutral cards, like Violent Illusionist, that's huge, right? Fool's Bane with Violent Illusionist. Yes, I will take my flexible 5-mana Flame Strike, basically. It's exciting just because we didn't think there would be any changes from the typical sort of setup where expansion comes out, the meta changes, you play until the next expansion, and that's it. You're basically done, and you know, you continue that into infinity. They basically removed the cards. You know, they removed a lot of bad cards from what they saw as subpar classes. They kept Paladin the same, and they removed good cards from Mage and Rogue, and then after that, they basically removed the bonus from Karazhan as well. So in the past like month or two, we've had so many different Arena metas, because when Karazhan was rolling out, they didn't have the bonus at that time. And, you know, from week to week, you had a different meta.
Do you mind explaining the bonus for some of the folks that, you know, some of the constructed folks that don't know what the bonus is?
Yes, of course. So when an expansion comes out, the latest expansion's cards, neutral cards, and also class cards have an increased chance of being offered to you. It's Blizzard's way of wanting you to, you know, play with the cards that have recently been offered and to sort of define the Arena meta in a certain way. So in Karazhan, every single priest would have tons and tons of Priest of the Feast. Mages would be offered Firelands Portals a lot. and these classes were basically defined by these cards. And it was even more prominent during Karazhan, because it's a it's an adventure, right? And during adventure releases, there's a lot less cards. You know, there's, I don't know exactly how many cards there are, but it's like half the amount of cards, I think even less than half the amount of cards than there are during like an Old Gods or a GVG, like big pack release, right, expansion. So, you know, you had the meta during the 4-week release, and then you had the meta right afterwards, and then you had the meta after that where they took away the cards, and then now you have the meta where they took away the Karazhan offering bonus. So really exciting time. And in the end, you know, we've settled upon a few things. Like Mage is still number one, I think.
Is it impressive number one, or is it just number one?
No, I think it's just number one. Okay. We went from mages, and these are kind of rough numbers, but they're pretty accurate. Like from mages having about 2 Firelands portals in every single deck to mages having 0.7. Now you have bumped, you have bumped up things like Flamestrike and Ethereal Conjurer, just because, you know, if you take something away, other cards fill in the gap. But they're not as oppressive anymore because Babbling Book is just an insane card. Medivh's Valet, if you give an offering bonus to Medivh's Valet, you feel more comfortable taking secrets, because typically mage secrets in the arena are not good. Like Mirror Entity is
not
probably
good in anything.
Mirror Entity is probably your, you know, your best bet in the arena, and even then, it's not good. Easy to play around. It's clunky. 3 mana, you know. But if you have an increased offering bonus to Medivh's Valet, you're like, okay, well, I'm probably going to get like at least 2 Medivh's Valet in the deck. I need 2 drops anyways. So if I see like a counterspell, or if I see, you know, even a Vaporize, I'm taking that thing because of the synergy probably 2 to 3 cards in my deck. Yeah. So it really shaped mages and really made them extremely powerful. And now that you have taken the offering bonus away, like, yes, they're still number one. I don't think it's as oppressive anymore. But I think the biggest change, you know, we've talked about all of these changes. The biggest change has been them removing numerous cards from all of these classes. And the ones that they've affected the most have been sort of, you know, the lower tier classes, such as like Hunter. It's helped out Priest a little bit as well. They've removed a lot of these situational cards from like Warriors and Shamans and whatnot. And it's improved a little bit. Like, these classes have all risen up a little bit. Now, are they going to compete with Mage? No. Like, you know, the gap, even though they've closed that gap a little bit, the gap is still very significant. But decks just feel better nowadays. Like, when you lose as a Hunter, you're not stuck with 5 situational cards in your hand and you're just like, well, okay, like, this just feels terrible, right? And it's something that Blizzard really cares about. It's like, when you're offered these situational crummy cards in the draft and you have to pick them, and then you basically top deck those crummy cards, and then, you know, you like, they just cause you to lose, like, that just feels really bad. You're just like, man, this class stinks. But now, you know, even if you lose as a Hunter, you have an increased chance of being of at the end of the day saying like, all right, well, you know what, I played my Unleash, I played my Glaive Zuko, I played my Houndmaster, and even then I lost. Like, yeah, that's kind of BS, but at the same time, I played good cards, right? Like, it makes you feel better inside.
Sure.
So I think Arena is better in that regard, and the classes have gotten more competitive, and it's just become more fun. So
that's
sort of my not very short analysis, because I don't know how to shorten things, but that's my analysis.
So is it in the best state ever, or just best state in recent times?
It's the best state that I think they could sort of cobble together in such short period of time. Mm-hmm. Because changes to the, I think we are at a tipping point almost. Like, I was talking about it a few months ago as well. I'm like, they're coming to a tipping point where they had to do something, because if you just kept the same format,
it just keeps getting worse.
It keeps getting worse and worse, because what ends up happening is, if you keep on offering the bonus, it is the expansion is will purely define how these classes do, right? Because of the offering bonus, and the rest of the cards, the field gets thinner. Like, each card gets more and more diluted because, you know, you're not taking any cards out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what ends up happening is, like, And I think every stream, like arena streamer, said this, like, you know, let's fast forward a year. Let's fast forward 5 years. You don't play around anything at that point, because Consecration is like a 1 in 2,000 chance for them to have, like, you know, something ridiculous. Yeah, it's like, yeah. I don't play around Consecration. I also don't play around like Holy Flaming Pony of Justice, because, you know, that's like a 1 in 2,000 as well. I certainly don't play around like Deathwing, the, you know, the Rainbow Lord, right, or right. something, because no one drafts that anymore. Like, it just becomes utterly ridiculous. So they have to do something. And I think these changes are the best that they could do for now, but they still have to do.
I mean, eventually we're going to get to just like Standard, where they have to retire cards. I mean, just like large sets of cards, because of your point. I mean, it'll just get to the, just, there'll be so much, so many cards that, I mean, maybe it'll make it special when you do get some of those cards that we do see semi-common right now. But overall, you know, I think it's not healthy for, like you were alluding to there. And having, I don't know, set, like, would you like to see Arena like more like Wild or more like Standard?
I think they have to put it into Standard somewhat, because the way I look at it is, Blizzard tends to be trending towards a more competitive nature, not, you know, like overall, right? Like with Heroic Brawl, with just, you know, like earlier this year, sort of starting Standard, and it seems like with them releasing the infographic, and I actually asked Ixar afterwards, sort of, will we see a leaderboard for Arena? And he actually replied with a very detailed sort of suggestion, stating, you know, here are two specific formulas we could use for this. So it's obvious that the dev team has given it a lot of thought, right? You don't just put out two like complex formulas unless you've thought about it. So it's something that they've thought about. And because of that, like, I think we're shifting in the right direction. And I think that they will sort of move it towards the Standard format that we see now in Constructed, because there is no good that can come of just letting, you know, letting this, you know, I guess pun intended, run wild, right?
Yeah. So, Toast, what do you think of all this? I mean, you play much Arena these days, or any?
I played Arena for the first time in over a year. I used to be okay at Arena. Like, I'm able to, you know, average 7 wins. Not average. Okay, average 6 wins.
7 wins. You're freaking amazing, dude.
And I've hit 12 wins a couple of times. But like, going back to Arena, it's so weird. Because of the wild cards. Like, I got light bombed the other day. I'm like, oh right, light bomb's a card. And like, a lot of times it's just this reaction over and over again, right? Whirling Zaphomatic's a card, like that's a card.
Dr. Boom, just holy a card.
Yeah, Dr. Boom's a card. All right, starting to sound like a Moz. But yeah, that was the reaction I got. And like Merp talked about, like you don't play around stuff, and I think that was the hardest thing to adjust, because when I was going up against the Shaman, like, all right, got Lightning Storm, don't play around, like don't play into Lightning Storm. But my opponent, you know, he just didn't have Lightning Storm. But when you're coming off like ladder for a month and every opponent Shaman has Lightning Storm, I think it was a hard adjustment for me. A lot of times I just played around stuff that maybe I shouldn't have, and I need some Arena lessons probably. But yeah, it's fun to revisit all these old cards that you haven't seen since the wild thing happened.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You definitely play around different stuff. Like whenever I watch people play Constructed, right? It's always like it's just a totally different game, because when you queue up, you know the matchup, and sometimes you just have this one card that you need to win, right? So you keep this like 6 mana card that it sort of boggles my mind, and you know how the matchup goes. So, you know, you do all these like crazy anti-tempo stuff, or, you know, you do like something big comes out, but you're like, no. Like, I know he has like 4 threats in his deck, so I need to save this removal because, you know, even though this thing is pressuring me right now, I need to save it. And in Arena, you know, you don't play around like you don't have this information. It's, you know, you just try to make all these reads and you play around stuff like turn 7 Bog Creeper, right? Turn 9 North Sea Kraken. It's, you know, these things that you never see in Constructed. And yeah, like I never play around Lightning Storm just because it's rare. Even though people draft it, it's like, it's rare. Like, you know, so little chance that they have it. So yeah, it really does feel like a different game mode. And when I watch Constructum, I'm like, what the heck is this? Just like, it's crazy. And then of course, you know, the Resident Sleeper, like armor pass, armor pass, armor pass, armor pass, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, totally. They are completely, completely different. Yeah. That's why like people that are good at Standard aren't necessarily good at Arena. And I think people generally good in Arena are good at Standard. It just takes probably takes like, you know, 50 games with the deck or something like that, and then you'll probably be pretty close to somebody who's good with that. But okay, well, why don't we move on to Q&A here, guys, and get some of your questions out there. If you guys want to get your questions, and you can tweet them to me at ChamMV. Those obviously take precedent. We actually answered a few of these that were tweeted earlier, like the like that question that you added about the whole champion thing and whatnot, like putting pressure on them. But if you don't want to tweet it to. Okay, first question from Shane on Twitter, Shane Destroys. How do you guys think they should put gold cards into Arena?
I have a very detailed answer, but I'll let Toast answer first.
I have no idea. Like, I've seen suggestions, like, as a reward for a 12 win or something, but yeah, I have no idea how they're going to do it. Like, some people say if you own it in regular Constructed, then just have it show up as gold, right? But I think that's the only two ideas I have. Either you own it or like, as a reward for a 12 win, but that can kind of get, you know, complicated. I don't know.
That makes the most sense to me. It's just if you own it, you should be able to, should be in the Arena.
I think that's the most easy way. And that's the, like, it's the best way to sort of turn the rewards that you get from Arena into something that you can use in the Arena, right? So I think that's a good idea. I've always liked the idea, though, you know, the other idea that you stated, which is you basically turn the card that you use to get to 12 wins into gold. Right now, this does have warped incentives, because what's going to happen is you want to draft that Headcrack. You want to draft that Tiny Fin. You want to draft that Hobgoblin. Like, you want to draft these to get gold, to get the gold card, right? But it doesn't just end there, because next time you see the Hobgoblin, you're just like, I got to draft this because I need to play this to show my opponent that I got 12 with this, even though I don't have any synergy. So you're always going to be picking the Golden Murloc Tiny Fin just because, you know, like you want to show people, hey, look, I got 12 with this and I'm going to crush you right now with my Golden Tiny Fin.
Serious vanity right there.
I can imagine that being a thing among streamers, like the first guy to a full Golden Arena set. Or like doing a run where you can only pick non-golden cards.
I know.
That'd be pretty fun to see.
I wish that, like, obviously for my greed, I'm hoping that they apply it retroactively. But, you know, they won't, of course. But I remember it's all those times where I'm just like, oh, man. Like, I remember there was this, like, one rogue deck I went 12 with that had Tiny Fin, Hobgoblin, Headcrack, and, like, and Kidnapper or something. So I'm like, I want all of these as gold right now.
Kidnapper. Oh my goodness.
Kidnapper is actually a good card.
That's what I've seen. That's what's awesome. Yeah. Okay. So Scotty O. Urban asks a question for all three of you. What mechanic would you like to see to introduce whole new archetypes?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I had, like, just a random idea based off the mechanics Blizzard has been showing off. So Blizzard has this system where you can draw a specific card. So in the Tavern Brawl, one of the, like, you can draw, like, a 1-mana card and then 2-mana card and 3-mana card.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's right. That Tavern Brawl.
Right.
So I kind of threw around the idea of a card you put in your deck that you will be guaranteed to draw it if the condition is met. So like one example was a heal bot that you can only draw, that will be guaranteed to be drawn if you're under like 10 HP, like an emergency heal bot. But I don't know how I really feel about that, because it might psych some people out. Like on my hand, people play around certain situation. Like right, if I know he has the emergency heal bot card, I don't want to get him below 10. So we're seeing some kind of stuff, like similar stuff with Revenge and, you know, Molten Giant back in the day, where you want to play around the potential of a card, which is something I always enjoyed. So yeah, that's one mechanic that I played around with, but yeah, just an idea.
Okay, Merbs?
Some mechanic, I think, so from an arena standpoint, something, because I'm not creative enough to basically say like, oh, they should do Inspire, and here are cards that, that are examples. I think something that changes the board math or requires you to do a little bit more planning in terms of not only board positioning, but board math. So like, something like a mini sort of Magnetor Alpha. So for those of you who don't know, Magnetor Alpha is a 5/3 minion that when it attacks, it also damages enemies to the side of the creature as well.
It's like my foe Reaper, man.
Yeah, foe Reaper. I've been wrecked by that a few times in the arena. but something to a smaller effect maybe, for example, like let's say it's a 4/4 minion and when it attacks, it deals one damage to adjacent minions, right? So it's not so much like
all clear in. The board, yeah. Exactly. Right. Like, right. I know what you mean. Mm-hmm.
Right. So it rewards number one positioning. It forces the opponent to think about positioning at all times, not just I'm facing rogue, it's betrayal, you know. Yeah. And also it creates a different dynamic when you think about going face versus clearing the board, right? Yeah. Because you get extra value for clearing the board. So it changes that math and it literally actually changes the math on the board. So yeah. I think that's cool.
I think board positioning is one of the main most requested mechanic recently.
Yeah.
Because of the whole Karazhan chest thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like all board positioning. And obviously, like whenever someone back in the day, Shredder positioning is like the number one thing people go, oh, misplay. That's a mistake. Should have put it in the middle. I think, yeah, we need more stuff like that because you don't really see misplays anymore in Hearthstone. But back when Shredder was around, like people constantly made that mistake. Like, they just put it to the side. And occasionally it does end up mattering. So yeah, I agree. Like something with positioning would be amazing. Yeah. And I do think Blizzard probably has something up their sleeves for the new expansion, because everyone was so happy about Karazhan chest positioning. I'm sure they slipped in something.
Yeah, I mean, positioning, I agree with you guys too. And if you guys that watch the show constantly, you should know that I agree with them, because my Mechatorp submissions are always cards that have something to do with positioning. But to add on to it, I would like to see auras. You know, like I think last week I talked about one of my cards was basically adding taunts to any minions adjacent to it at any point. So anything that's thrown down, we've had some bosses. We had some Tavern Brawls, I think, that had that element. Definitely Karazhan, one of the bosses, right? It's just like, if it's on the right, it's taunt. If it's on the left, you know, it's something else, right?
Yeah.
Just things like that, I think, like you guys said, it changes the math. It creates puzzles, you know what I mean? Like, that's the one thing that we are missing from Hearthstone these days, is just very complicated situations. And you know, one of the things that I feel like is missing in Hearthstone also is just playmaking. Like in the top level Hearthstone, we don't get to see any kind of crazy plays. We just see like your standard, almost like one level, maybe two level type of play, but we never see, you know, just like you said, people don't make mistakes because it's like that. It's very straightforward these days.
Yeah, I mean, I miss Grim Patron. Like it was a terrible, oppressive deck, but so many people make mistakes. Like every tournament, like there will be at least 5 Grim Patron misplays, but it showcased, you know, there's a difference of skills. Like you can make mistake with this deck. Mm-hmm. And again, nowadays it's like, do I play Tunnel Trunk on turn 1? Yes, I have 1 mana. Do I have to play Totem Golem on turn 2? Yes, because I have 2 mana. So I do miss that thing about Grim Patron, that you can't mess up.
Yeah, like even though I know nothing about Constructed, I love watching the tournaments, and you know, you get a lot of knowledge from the casters, right? Like casters are usually pro players that are very, very good, and I can tell, you know, if people are making mistakes, most of the time it's a matchup mistake, right? Like they mulligan incorrectly because of the matchup, or they play this incorrectly because, you know, this matchup dictates that they should do this. So it's not really sort of like, oh, like mechanically they traded poorly or something. Like, yeah, that almost never happens anymore. It's like, oh man, they really should have saved that in Tomb or something, which takes away an element of the game. It's more like, oh, you need to just study this matchup. And then if that's the only skill that you're showcasing, you know, it really takes away from the potential of the game.
Well, it's not just that. It is that, but on top of that, as a spectator, a lot of the skill right now has a lot to do with the unknown, like what's possibly coming, you know, you playing around that possible play. And those are the most impressive plays right now. Like when somebody, you know, foresees, you know, is playing some druid and they foresee a couple turns that go, you know, whether it has Malak's involved or it has some kind of arcane giant. I mean, those are the things that are so impressive with the players right now. But as a spectator, and as somebody that might not, let's just say like is more casual a player and is a spectator, they don't necessarily understand how impressive it is, you know? So I feel like we need more explicit situations where people make very explicit, you know, mistakes, and you can see why, you know, like the whole Shredder thing, you know, you can understand why it's a mistake when you can see the penalties of the mistake, with their boards being cleared or whatever it is. Right. I think Hearthstone needs a little bit, like a lot more of that, actually, just making it a better spectator product too. Okay, let's move on to alumni Hearthstone. What are the classes do you think Secrets would work for? What mana cost level would they be at? Is there any other classes that you would have? Maybe Priest?
Priest Secrets? I mean, people have been asking for Rogue Secrets for a while, right?
Just because Secrets, I guess, makes it fits. Thematically, right. Yeah, that's true.
I guess that makes sense. But then I don't know how much they would cost, because they haven't doubled up on secret costs yet, right? So, like, do you basically put at 1 mana, 2 mana, 3 mana, or like it feels weird if rogues are all about sort of like cheap spells and making spells cheaper, and then their secrets cost like 5, right? It just like doesn't make any sense. So it's weird in a design space if they want to keep the same format that they've done with the other classes.
Yeah, and also so secrets is a lot like weapons in the case that only certain cards can run it, right? So right now there's a lot of classes that does weapon, and weapon removal is really popular in, you know, Harrison Jones and stuff. My biggest concern with like other classes having secrets is, you know, obviously Edo secrets, and to a small extent that wild card that steals the secret.
Kazan Mystic.
Because if Secrets becomes too powerful, then no one's going to run Secret decks. So right now, I want to run Medivh in my decks because it's so much fun.
I know,
right?
you get screwed right now because of the metagame right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're not running Harrison Jones to counter you.
Exactly,
your Secret Medivh deck.
That's what I'm looking at too, man.
Yeah, like you're a victim of, you know, some other people running meta decks with their freaking Spirit Claws and stuff. And like, my concern with Secret being popular is that you're trying to do a cool Secret effigy, Secret like tech, but then like everyone's running Eater Secrets because Priest has like 5 mana secrets that completely wrecks, you know, your board if you don't answer it. So for me personally, I'm like, let's just keep Secret to these three classes for now.
I've never really understood Secrets in Paladin. You know, as it, you know, it doesn't, I mean, of course, I've gotten used to it over time or whatnot, but I just don't feel like those secrets are that important to the class. You know, we did see Secret Paladin, but honestly, those secrets could have been all kinds of different things, and Secret Paladin still would have. If you put, you know, Mysterious Challenger in some of those other decks too, I mean, how stupid would it be? Okay, like it'd be ridiculous in the other secret classes, but in Paladin, it's just like they're cheap too. So it's just I don't know. It never really felt right to me.
I mean, I think Blizzard is still trying to push Secret Mage. I mean, if you look at Karazhan, Medivh's Valet, and Avian Watcher.
Yeah, I like that. I definitely like that.
They want mage, secret mage to be a real like theme going on.
Bring back Illuminator then, because Illuminator was Illuminator a really good card for secret classes. That's one. Actually, that's one of the cards I would bring back to basic. But let's see. Maybe one or two more here. Well, so Average Plays asked a question that's okay. It says from Mertz, what do you think about a competitive tournament of Hearthstone combining draft and constructed? Isn't that what sealed is?
That's basically what sealed is.
Kind of. No, maybe not, because sealed isn't draft, right? It's just opening packs.
Yeah, so yeah,
it's a little bit
draft and constructed. So I'm guessing he means sort of like the function they have when you create a deck and then you sort of like. You draft is that what he means?
I think like, so. I think something like that. Yeah.
The problem with that is, you know, the offering is different, right? Because part of the skill or challenge of drafting in the arena is playing out your is curve consideration. And when you go into constructed, you know, create a deck and you do the pseudo draft option that they have in there, they're like, okay, we're gonna like. You know, choose one of these one mana cards, choose one of these two mana cards, choose one of these three mana cards. Your curve is always laid out for you. So once again, it is a different skill set because you don't have to worry about curve. You just have to worry about synergy. And you know you're going to get lots of, like if you pick Paladin, you know you're going to get lots of Paladin cards. A much higher percent of your deck are going to be class cards than you'll probably get in the arena. So once again, it's a different skill set, which I don't like. And that's part of the problem with any sort of arena tournament that you can do right now. It's just testing a different set of skills. So it's like when Hafu won Lord of the Arena, like she won that, but it didn't actually simulate arena at all, right? Like she won this sort of weird bastardized version of arena, which is great, and it obviously shows that she has a lot of skill. It just like it deflates it a little bit because that's not what arena is.
Yeah it's I agree with that. I totally agree with that. But getting, you know, just kind of I think bringing it back to his question, or maybe what he's looking for, I think sealed is probably the closest thing that you could get to that's going to have this type of this randomness, right, to the situation going into building a deck, as well as the building of the deck, as a skill in itself, to determine, you know, just who wins this event. We don't have enough of them. You know, we've only seen like two events now that's been sealed. I mean, if you count the Red Bull one, and then now, you know, just World Series. I guess maybe both World Series were the World Series are sealed, right? So maybe three. But I think if we were to see a few more, then the community would, you know, start to understand that format a little bit better. I still think we've seen that format exactly the same, where you have three decks. You know, like you open. I forget what the Tempo Storm tool is set to, but it's very restricted. Like I've talked to the guys, and they're gonna change it in the near future. By the way, to be custom decks and custom decks. I mean, sorry, custom packs and the custom decks you can build. But right now, you have to build three decks. And then so there's not very many formats you can do outside of that. So, but it's a fun format. Like a lot of the pro players do that all the time. You know, they'll have like bets against each other and play sealed because it's fun right now. Last question. What should be done? So from a Cubs or AKUBS, what should be done to replace Emperor to enable combo decks after he rotates out?
I don't know, man.
That's so funny. That's such a funny question.
Initially, I was like, ooh, cool, combo decks. But now I'm like, all right, Malagos, Sinister Strike. Congratulations. Oh, Malagos, Moonfire, Living Roots. I don't know. I feel like nothing needs to replace Emperor. I would like at least 1 year without Emperor just to see what the meta is like. Because Emperor enables a lot of crazy things. And, you know, it's fun to do crazy things, but when you're playing at the high level, you know, it's not going to be crazy things. It's going to be something you feel powerless against. Back in the day, you know, Emperor's Taurus Sands, Savage, you know, Force of Nature, Savage Roar. It was enabled by Emperor. And right now you have Freeze Mage doing it, you know, Frostbolt, Ice Lance, Fireball, Rolling Torch. So for me personally, I don't want to see another Emperor, at least for another year. We do miss out on some very cool, very fun videos. But I don't know, not a fan of Emperor.
It's so funny that people, like, I would say rely on it or think it's the norm to have, you know, mana reduction, because the game is not balanced upon mana reduction. You know what I mean? Like, they, that's what was so crazy about that. That's why Emperor is so powerful, is because that card is supposed to break things. Like, it's supposed to break balance. And a lot of times it has, I mean, it's actually been pretty amazing that it hasn't broken more things. And maybe they have been trying to design around that card, you know, since it's been out.
Yeah.
That would actually be bad for the future if that's the case, because, you know, what they have designed based on that card being out there will be under, you know, like completely underpowered. And
right.
So Emperor in itself, I just felt like, sure, it's the whole funsy thing, but fundamentally it breaks what should be fundamental to their design philosophy too. So
right, yeah.
It'll be great to not have it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I think Emperor was okay when Lothab was around, because you could counter stuff, you know, like at least spell heavy type of combinations and or combos and whatnot. But with Lothab gone, yeah, we've been seeing just the crazy warrior and you know, now it's the druid Malagus, and I'm surprised we haven't seen more Malagus combos, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Shaman could probably still be great with Malagus and Rogue, and it's we're lucky. We're just lucky, yeah, that it hasn't broken more, to be honest.
No, I totally agree with you. People should be excited to see Thorsen leave, just because every time, you know, like, these are eras, right? You can say, like, oh, man, the Lothab era ended. Or, like, mm-hmm. you know, when the Reno Jackson era ends, right? Like, these are cards that people not only build decks around, like, the meta, like, you know, they highly impact the meta and what decks and archetypes are capable of. So, you know, like, you know, enjoy it while it lasts. Like, milk all that you can out of these meta-defining cards, but when they leave, like, man, something cool and crazy is going to replace them, sure. Right? Because you can't have a meta full of not only Lothab, but also Thorsten, with also Reno Jackson, with also, like, all of these cards together. Like, you get rid of them, and something else is going to come out that is going to be equally as cool, but it just does something different. And no, I totally agree. When Emperor is out, you can't release something that, let's say, it further reduces mana, or let's say for one turn, you know, you get to do something explosive or whatnot, just because, you know, that would completely break the game. So Emperor, cards like Reno Jackson, Lothab, they allow you to really push these boundaries, but then you have to take it away, and you got to let something else push these boundaries as well. And I look forward to, you know, like, the flaming pony of death, right? Like, we're going to be talking about that next year. You heard it here first.
Wow.
Yeah, like it should be very exciting for people. Like, you know, obviously you've had a lot of great experiences with Thorsen. Tournaments have been very exciting. You know, like, that's how people have these, like, ridiculous, like, 8-card, 1-turn kill, inefficient decks. But, like, yeah, we should be excited about what's coming up.
I mean, lots of people have talked about, I mean, a lot of the pro players have been a value talent and make their own videos. Like, one of the core, or a lot of them have been saying, like, one of the main issues right now is just having 0 mana cards. And Emperor Thorsen creates even more 0 mana cards just by nature. And it can do so multiple turns and whatnot. So it's just crazy. It's actually very amazing that card has not been, you know, public enemy number one, and we've just been lucky. It's there's a lot of cards that still exist in Hearthstone. I think we're just lucky that haven't been crazy overpowered. Some of them even exist in the priest class, which is pretty amazing too. Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's it. Thanks for everybody for all the questions, and there's a lot more other questions too that I wish we could have gotten to, but save them for next week. We'll definitely try to get to them. But Merps, Disguised Tips, thanks for doing the show. This is definitely really, really great. And I know it's a little bit later than normal, so we tried to get Merps when he got back from work, because this guy actually has a full-time job too, which is
real life.
How do you do that?
Crazy. Don't hold it against me, guys. I'm sorry.
Everybody's like, wow, just impressed more than anything else. But yeah, you want to do some shout outs, Merps, and where can people find you?
Sure. I stream on Twitch. My channel is The Grinning Goat. If you want to get more arena content as well, Adulta and I host a tier list on thelightforge.com. We also do an in-depth analysis of the arena every single week on the Lightforge podcast. Mm-hmm. So you can find us there as well. We also have a YouTube channel under Adulta. That's ADWCTA. Couldn't change that name, unfortunately, so that's still under his name. But anyways, like, those are all the areas that you can find us if you're interested in more arena stuff.
All right, awesome. Yeah, definitely check out the Lightforge, guys. If you like arena-only things, that's definitely a great resource for awesome advice. And these people, both of their perspective, which is great, because they're both top arena players. Toast.
Oh, yeah, you can find me on Twitter at DisguisedToast, or my YouTube channel, youtube.com/DisguisedToast, or my Twitch channel, which is Twitch.
Twitch. Twitch is going to de-partner you now after saying that.
Twitch.tv/DisguisedToast, yeah. HS, because someone already took DisguisedToast, unfortunately.
What happens when you get into Overwatch, dude?
What happens when I get into over? Oh, right. I mean, Forsen has Forsen Law and Trump has SC on it.
No. That's when HS is going to translate into Hanzo sucks.
Hanzo sucks. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's where people can find my exposed face.
Isn't it nice? Isn't it? It's only been what? Has it been a week? It's been a week and a
it's
half?
Been.
How long has it been?
A week and two days,
man. I feel like you've always been revealed. I forgot what the toast even looks like now, dude. Totally. Until I look at chat and I see it all over the place. No, but it's definitely great, man. Definitely awesome. And I'll just, I guess, round things out. Thanks to, again, Merps and Skies Toast for coming on and doing the show. If I were a couple things I guess I wanted to mention, at least promotion-wise, is I'm doing a fireside gathering here in South Florida on Sunday, starting at 12:30. If you guys are in South Florida, check that out. It's on the Fireside site. And when it comes time, it'll show up on your client too, because the Battle.net client like pops up with a notification that there's a Fireside going on nearby. So we'll be doing that 12:30. It's free Swiss tournament. Just have fun. You know, everybody plays on it. There's raffles for giveaways and prizes for the tournament winners. So yeah, definitely come and do that. It's been growing like over time too, so I'm pretty excited that we've got like we've got like 60 people on the meetup, but we get about 20 to 30 that come every time, so it's a lot of fun. We're gonna be doing a streamer showdown next week, first Hearthstone edition. If you're wondering what streamer showdown is, it's my new game show platform I'm doing with Indexus, and we debuted it in Overwatch last week. Merps has actually helped me test it out before in the past.
I crushed it.
That he's not playing in it, because he's actually quite good. Actually, Toast would give you a run for your money. And Toast is going to be on the first episode with Trump and hopefully Ratsma. Noxious is probably going to be hosting it too. So I'll come out with these like nailed down details very, very soon. But it's a game show, kind of like Jeopardy, but it's our own kind of thing. It's more interactive with you guys in the chat, because we do have a game type that you guys determine who wins, as well as other fun stuff between all the contestants. So I encourage you to check it out. You can check out the Overwatch VOD, the version of Overwatch edition, on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/ChamMV. And in the next week, guys, we may not do a Value Town on Wednesday, because we're going to be doing one live from BlizzCon. So instead of doing like back to back, I don't know, maybe we'll do one on Wednesday, but definitely we'll be doing like a short 30 to 40 minute after everything's announced. We can just kind of talk, me, Noxious, and hopefully we grab somebody else, that should be a lot of fun. That'll be our first Value Town live, like an actual like at the venue type of thing. So can't wait to do that. We'll have a meetup too, guys. I'm trying to figure out where to do the meetup. I know a lot of the A-Move guys do it at the bowling alley. I don't know if that's the best place or not, but it'd be kind of fun to do a Value Town meetup, because we never done one before. So definitely follow me on Twitter, and definitely be on the lookout for details for that. Murphs, are you going to BlizzCon? I know Toast, you are, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'll see you there. You're finally going to be there. Yes. All right. It's going to be, we can all meet up and grab a drink or something.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, until then, guys, or until next week, for Murphs, Disguised Toast, and myself, Chan Man V, we'll see you next time.
See you guys.
Later.